on Father's Day to look at a little bit of, God, what is your standard? God, what do you have for fathers? And yes, fathers are to be the example. Fathers are to train up children in the ways they should go. So this morning, I want to take a moment, and I would like to pray. To pray for our church, to pray for the fathers in our church, and to say that the message that we are about to go through, the message I believe the Father has given us today, is it continues on in our Life Savers series. But it's certainly applicable to fathers. It's applicable to mothers. It's applicable to children, to any follower of Jesus. It is applicable. Even to someone who may be seeking out a future relationship with God, who may be wondering what it's like to have a relationship with God, it's applicable. But if you'd bow one more time with me, let me pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you and say thank you. Thank you that no matter what our image or our experience has been of our earthly father, God, whether it was wonderful, whether it was horrible, whether it was anywhere in between, God, that we can call you Father. And you're the one that leads us. God, today on this, what we call Father's Day, I just want to pray for all the fathers in this room, for all the fathers in our church, those that couldn't be here this morning. God, I pray that they would walk in your light. I pray they would walk in your wisdom. And God, I pray that they would impart your wisdom to their children. And that no matter how old their children are, that they would always be pointing children to you. Always be pointing them to the righteous one. Always be pointing them to the one that is holy, the one and only that is good. God, as we look at your word this morning, as we look at your living word, Lord, I pray that you would speak to each of us. I pray that you would show us how you want to apply what we're going to look at this morning to our individual lives and to us as a church. Father, we pray all these things in your Son's name. Amen. Lifesavers. Again, I know many of your stories. I don't know all of your stories. And so when we have things like Mother's Day or Father's Day, I know there is a wide scope and a wide range of experiences. I know some that don't get to see Dad as often as they would like to, but they get to see him this morning. Maybe they get to see him today. Maybe you don't get to be with your father today. But regardless, if Father's Day isn't everything that you always thought or hoped or dreamed it would be, I hope that today you'll go away encouraged and challenged. We're going to be in the book of Matthew if you have your Bible and you'd like to turn there. But we've been talking about lifesavers. And we've been talking about our role as lifesavers. If we're followers of Jesus, then God wants us, he wants to use us to save people. Now, we talked the very first week about how we ourselves cannot save people. That's something only God can do. That's his business. That's his authority. That's his right. That's his power. It's something that we can't do ourselves. But we are to take part. He wants to use us as part of his work. He wants to use us in his work. So we talked about how God is the only one that can save a person. He's the only one that can take away the sin of anyone who chooses to put faith in his son. Last week we talked about if we walk in not just the knowledge of God, but if we walk in his love, and if we walk in relationship with him, then we can walk without fear. We can fear God. We can have an enormous reverence and respect for God and say, God, I don't want to do anything to go against your will, and choose to fear God in that way instead of walking through this life in fear of circumstances and fear of other people and a fear of things around us. And that if we'll walk in that way, then we'll walk differently than over 90% of the people around us, because we walk knowing that God is not only with us, but he is leading us. And this will bring to light questions for people. We talked last week about if things aren't going as well in our economy, which they're not right now, and they may still continue to go down, right? That as we go through hard times. Like maybe we're one of the ones that got laid off. And as we go through that time in peace and contentment. Now, is it hard? Yes. Does it stink? Absolutely. But we go through those times with peace and contentment. People, whether they ask us or not, people are going to say, what's different about her? What's different about him? I can hardly keep myself together, and it's almost like he doesn't have a care in the world. We can walk through this life without fear. And as we walk through this life without fear, we can be prepared to give an answer when people ask us, what is so different about you? Why aren't you stressing out? We can tell them about the peace of God. We come to today, Lifesavers. Toby, can you put that title up one more time? Sorry. He's good. He follows me even though I'm not easy to follow. Okay, I'm getting the 1 minute signal. Okay, we're going to be lifesavers. We not only need to conquer fear, but as lifesavers, we got to be there. Okay? Just like whether your experience with dad was great, whether it was not so great, in order to be a good dad, you got to be there. Now, you may not be able to be there as much as you want. You may not be able to be there physically as much as you want, face to face as much as you want, but you got to be there. You got to spend time, whether it's through the wonder of technology these days, FaceTime, because I know some of us live a long way away from our dads or from our family. But when we talk about being lifesavers, we have to be willing to be there. We have to be willing to say, you know what? If there are people out there that don't know the hope of Jesus, I've got to be willing to be in relationship there. Now, see, the reason why we're talking about this is because in the time that we're going to pick up in Matthew chapter 9, in the time that we're about to pick up, you see, the religious leaders of the day had developed this idea that if they were around people that didn't do the same things they did, that didn't follow the same law that they followed, that they didn't need to be anywhere near them because they were unclean. They weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and I don't want you to taint me. I don't want you to have an effect on me, so I'm just going to distance myself as far away as I can from you. And in fact, anyone that goes and hangs out with you, you people that don't follow all the rules, if they hang out with you, they're unclean. This was the idea of the religious leaders of God's people, the people that were teaching all these other people, all the rest of God's people. They were teaching them, don't associate with anyone that doesn't follow the way. Don't associate anyone that doesn't follow the law. Because they're unclean, and you don't want to become unclean. And we pick up with Jesus. And Jesus, he's been born of a virgin, he's grown up, he's lived a sinless life. And Jesus is beginning his ministry. And Jesus is about to turn that idea, about to turn that whole concept upside down. And he's about to do it with one that he's going to call to come and follow him as one of his 12 chosen disciples. One of the 12 that he says, you come and follow me and I'm going to teach you about God. I'm going to teach you about what God wants to do in you. We're going to pick up in Matthew chapter 9, starting in verse 9. See, Jesus, we just have finished with, if you read the verses preceding this in chapter 9, Jesus has just forgiven a man of his sins. And these religious leaders have called him on it and said, whoa, 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 only God can forgive sins. And Jesus says, well, what is easier, for me to say, you're forgiven of your sins, or for me to say to this paralyzed man, get up, pick up your mat, and walk? And Jesus heals him physically. First, he heals him spiritually. You see, Jesus has just shown and declared and defended his power given by God, his Father. He's just shown his power to not only forgive sins, but to heal the lame. He comes from that to this, Matthew 9, verse 9. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, follow me. So he got up and followed him. While he was reclining at the table in the house, many tax collectors and sinners came as guests to eat with Jesus and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard this, he said, "Those who are well don't need a doctor, but the sick do. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners." Now, if you've been here at Southwinds, we've looked at this passage before. We've looked at this story, but as we talk about being lifesavers, this is a key passage for us. Because how in the world are we going to be used by God to be part of his plan in drawing people to himself, to be part of his plan and being light in the darkness, if we only insulate ourselves and only hang out with each other? Now, hear this. I love you. I enjoy spending time with each of you. And really, I could spend every evening hanging out with one of you. You guys coming over to our house, us coming over to your house, and just spend time together and really enjoy time and be encouraged. And I could do that every day of the week, every day of the year. And man, be pretty fun. I'm telling you, if we only hang around each other, and you're going, "Dude, you haven't been to my work. Like, I don't hang around people that know Jesus all day, okay?" But I'm just saying, if we only hang around each other, or if we only choose to form relationship with each other, then we are missing out on what Jesus showed us as an example. We're missing out on how God might want to use us. Because it's not the same as just working next to somebody every day, 5 days a week. Because we can do that and not really form a relationship, right? Easy enough. We can be friendly to our neighbors and not really form a relationship, right? Easy enough. But I think what we see in Jesus is, he says, if you do that, if you try to distance yourself from people that don't know me, from people that choose to follow my son Jesus, if you choose to distance yourself from them, then you're not following the example that my son gave you. All right? Now, I want to talk about, just for a minute, I want to talk about the people in this encounter that we have. Okay? I'm going to start with Matthew. Matthew, it says, is a tax collector. All right? Tax collectors then are just as popular as tax collectors now. Okay? No, like when you get your paycheck, you think, "Oh, awesome, man. More taxes came out. I love it." No. You know, I mean, we get the idea. We pay our taxes. We're good to go. It's all good. But I'm going to tell you, tax collectors back in the day were most definitely less popular than they are now, especially in this context where Jesus is. Now, Matthew's from a place called Capernaum, okay? And later on in this book, we find out that Capernaum, they reject Jesus, okay? Like, as a town, as a village, they reject his teaching. Matthew is a Jew, okay? But the thing that people really didn't like about Jewish tax collectors is that they had to pay the Roman government for the right to collect taxes, okay? So they're viewed as traitors, kind of. So Matthew paid the Roman government and said, "Yeah, I'll be a tax collector. I'll pay for that right," because he knew he could make a ton of money, and Matthew had made a ton of money. He was a wealthy man. And you know what? The more taxes that Matthew collected, guess what happened? The more money that he got. So Matthew was good at collecting taxes. Matthew was good at knowing that entire tax code, okay? Frontwards, backwards, inside and out. He knew it, and everyone was going to be taxed to the last penny and more so. Because tax collectors were also known for being crooks. This is Matthew, okay? And when it says tax collectors and sinners, what it means is sinners are Jewish people that didn't follow the law. Okay, so they were people that said, "Yeah, I'm Jewish, but I really don't care about living like a Jew." Okay, those were called sinners in this context. So we have Matthew, a tax collector who sold out to the Romans to work for them, actually purchased the right to collect taxes, and the more he collected, the more he got to keep. Okay, we're up to date on Matthew. He was also suspect because he hung out with people that were not Jewish. He hung out with Gentiles. And Gentiles were considered unclean. And Matthew rubbed shoulders with them all the time. So Matthew was not the most liked individual in his time, in his community. Okay? All right. That's Matthew. Painted a good enough picture of him. Okay? Not the most popular guy. Jesus. Okay? If you're here and you're a follower of Jesus, you're like, all right, Bo, skip it. I got it. But I want to talk about Jesus. He is the Son of God, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, was in constant relationship with God, spent time with God, and asked God constantly, depended on God constantly, being fully God and fully man himself, to see the world that God, the way God saw the world. Jesus, he looks into the eyes of Matthew, who's sitting at his tax booth, collecting money. He looks into the eyes of Matthew, and he says two words, follow me. And it says that Matthew got up and followed him. Now, the thing about Jesus that I want us to look at here is that Jesus, he wasn't governed by what the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day, said he was supposed to do. Jesus was governed by, he said one point that his food is to do the will of the one who sent him, to do the will of his Father. And his Father said, you tell Matthew to follow you. So Jesus said, follow me. You see, Jesus looked past the fact that Matthew was a tax collector, the fact that Matthew was a sinner. He looked past the fact that Matthew wasn't popular, the fact that Matthew had probably cheated a lot of people out of a lot of money. What he looked at was the man. Jesus looked at the man, and he looked at someone who was sick and hurting and who needed healing. That's who he saw. And he said, follow me. And if, I mean, what all is entailed in Jesus saying, following me? It's a complete life change for Matthew. Because did you notice the name of the book that we're reading out of this morning? Did you notice that? It's the book of Matthew. Same guy. That years later, after following Jesus, God would impress upon his heart to write down the account of his time spent following Jesus. And it's the first of our Gospels that we have in our Bibles today. He looked past the mud and he saw the masterpiece. He looked past the circumstances, he looked past the choices, and he saw the man. 1 Samuel 16:7 says that man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Jesus looked at the man, and he looked at who God could make him, at the masterpiece that God had created him to be. Jesus saw the man and the man that desperately needed him. So, Matthew made a pivotal choice in his life. It says that Matthew got up and followed him. Now, I want you to think about this. Like, we can read that and say, oh, of course. Yeah, Jesus said, come follow me. And then Matthew got up and followed him. He was in the middle of his job, in the middle of something that he made a lot of money doing. I want you to think about that for a second. Whether we make a lot of money or not, doesn't matter. Think about we're doing the thing that we can make a living at. And someone comes and says, follow me. And I get up from my responsibility, from the thing that we think, no, I cannot do that. I might get fired. I'm going to lose everything. Matthew got up and he followed Jesus. Pivotal choice in Matthew's life. Because he could either hang on to what he knew, he could hang on to responsibilities that he had, he could hang on to the wealth, he could hang on to the few people that didn't, the other tax collectors that weren't liked anyway, and so they kind of hung around together in a group. He could hang on to that, or he could follow Jesus. And he chose to follow Jesus. Here's the interesting part. After he gets up to follow Jesus, he says, Jesus, I want you to come to my house. And Jesus, great. So he gets the other disciples, and they go to Matthew's house. And what happens? A party breaks out. Matthew, and we don't know, like maybe Matthew's saying, you know what? I'm about to lose a lot of face with these guys, but there's something about this man. He is different, and I want my friends and I want my people to know him. So Matthew right away says, before I lose too much face with these guys, if they think I've gone off the deep end or whatever, I'm going to have everybody over to my house. He was a wealthy man, and he put on a feast. He puts on this feast, and it says that Jesus is there reclining. And back in the day when it was an important dinner, they would actually be at a low table, laying on a mat, and you would lay on your left elbow. Like, why left? I have no clue, but it's what you did in the culture, right? He was reclining at the table, laying on his left elbow, hanging out with these guys. Jesus was there. Are you getting the picture? Jesus was there. It was tax collectors. It was sinners. It was the outcasts. It was the people that the religious leaders looked at and said, oh man, I know where you're going. I'm glad I'm not you. Jesus was with them, spending time with them. Matthew wanted them to be around Jesus. And then the religious leaders come around and they say, so, they don't go to Jesus, right? They go to his disciples. They say, so why is your teacher hanging out with all these people? And Jesus hears them. He knows what's in their heart. And he says, you know what, guys? I just want you to think about this for a moment. You're the religious leaders. You know the law inside and out. Think about this. He says, it's not the well that need a doctor, but it's the sick. And Jesus is masterful at this. He says, go and learn what this means. Knowing full well they knew exactly where Jesus was talking about. He's quoting from one of the prophets, Hosea. He says, learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. And what he meant was, he says, I desire that people get to know the heart of God. I desire that people get to know the God that wants to change people, the God that wants to show compassion to people, the God that wants to take away sin. That's the God that I know. You don't know this God. You know a God that requires only sacrifice. A God that says if you follow the rules, then you're fine. It says you need to learn what this means. I want your heart. God wants your heart. He wants you to know his heart. All right. These Pharisees, these teachers of the law, they thought they were righteous because they followed the rules, because they knew sacrifice. They thought they were righteous. But Jesus is telling them, you don't know. They're saying, how in the world can you hang out with these awful people? If you're a teacher of the law, how can you hang out with these awful people? And Jesus is saying, how can you not hang out with these people? They are in need. So today, I want to say, I believe that God wants to say, that as we see in Matthew 9:9-13, we see God wants us in relationship with people around us. If you've been here at South Winds, this is not a new message for you. This is not a new message for me. He wants us in relationship with people around us because he wants us to do exactly what Jesus did, and he wants us to do exactly what Matthew did. He wants us, and if you're here this morning, many of us have said, yes, I've made the choice. Jesus said, follow me. I'm following him. Okay? So part of following Jesus means hanging around people that need a doctor. Hanging around people that need the life-saving message of Jesus that I have. That's part of what it means. Now, I'm going to invite you, please, if you can at all, come back next week. Because next week we're going to cap off our Lifesavers message, our Lifesavers series. Susan Booth did a training a couple weeks ago, and if you weren't able to be at that training, it's okay. She's going to be up here at the front. She's not going to do everything that she did. But we're going to do a little bit of an interview next week. And ask Susan, she's going to have some stories for you. We're going to talk about some of the questions that she likes to ask people. But in the midst of us going and hanging around people that don't know Jesus, we have to remember, South Winds, that we cannot afford to be like the Pharisees. Because if we're like the Pharisees, if we're like the religious leaders of the day that Jesus had to turn their view upside down, then we're going to insulate ourselves and we're going to make ourselves ineffective. But if we'll follow the example of Jesus and if we'll follow the example of Matthew and say, I have responded to this life-changing message that God has taken away my sin. He's given me new hope. He's given me new life, and I want other people to know it. If we'll follow Jesus and Matthew's example, that we'll not only be in relationship with people, but we'll seek to take them medicine. Jesus didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners. You and I are sinners, only saved by God's grace and mercy. And there are 95% of the people that live all around us, that live and work all around us, are sinners that can only be saved by grace and mercy. Only by grace and mercy. We gotta be there. We can't afford to be like the Pharisees and insulate ourselves. So I want to ask, maybe be thinking about, what kind of party can I throw like Matthew? I may not be rich. You know, I'm not going to be putting out caviar. But how can I hang around people that don't know Jesus and not say, okay, you're here, great, I need you to watch this video? I'm not saying that. But how can I be in relationship with people that don't know Jesus, have them in my home, maybe be invited to their home, and say, you know what? God, I'm going to look for any opportunity that you give me. I'm going to look for opportunities to ask good questions that we'll talk about next week. I'm going to look for an opportunity to talk about, to ask good questions. Not for people to be projects, not for people to be something that we look to put a notch on our belt. Not the right attitude. But for us to say, Jesus, you love them as much as you love me. And I want them to know that. What sort of party can I throw like Matthew to get people, to introduce them to Jesus? Fathers, I will say this today. Your children need to see you doing this. They need to see it. Not only do they need to see you doing this, but fathers, unless your children have given their lives to Jesus already, they need this. Because you can't make that choice for them. They need to know the one that came to declare them righteous. They need to know the one, the only one, the way, the truth, and the life. They need to know. Southwinds, they need to know, and we got to be there.